If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on the Early Line, a Thursday all across the Spiz Grizz Network. That is Sports Grid. That is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Two more hours to go as the All-Star break in the NBA is now over. Action resumes around the association. A 12-game NBA slate. 12 games, 24 teams. That's 24 of the 30 in the association starting the home stretch of this NBA season tonight. Big picture conversations, game odds, and breakdowns coming your way in hour number three. There is so much to get to over these next 2 hours on the Early Line.
Yep, a lot to get to, setting up an important weekend as well in college basketball. As we down the stretch, they come. And you know you need some wins here, and you need some pushes, you need some ties, you need whatever you can to fill up that bank account, Ben, right? We are here to provide that information to build that bank account. At least that's what I'm here for, Ben.
If you were watching hour number one, you probably saw a wry smile come across Donnie Wrightside's face as we started to break down the NBA, the big picture conversations for this home stretch. Every team around the association has played at least 53 games, less than 30 remaining for everybody in this 82-game regular season following the All-Star break. And that wry smile for DRS had to do with the fact that LeBron James was the captain of the Western Conference team in the All-Star game. Played in the All-Star game sparingly, and is not going to play tonight in the first game for the LA Lakers following the All-Star break in San Francisco to nurse an ailing ankle. The Golden State Warriors, a 5.5-point favorite against the Lakers to start this home stretch after the All-Star break in the NBA. Let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number two on TEL, Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. So no LeBron James tonight. And the Lakers are not in the second spot in the Western Conference, not in the five spot, not even really firmly into the playoff mix at this moment. They're in the ninth spot in the Western Conference standings. Of course, with the play-in tournament, if the season ended today, they'd have some leverage to be in the play-in tournament pretty squarely, but they would have to win two games coming out of the ninth spot in that opening game and then knock off the loser of the 7-8 matchup in play-in tournament action. There's not a ton of wiggle room or margin to deal with, Donnie, for these guys to take breaks down the home stretch if the Lakers want to be in the hunt for a conference championship out west this season once again. 30-26, LA four games above 500. What would it take for the Lakers to make the playoffs? Lake or miss? That's a really good headline.
Yeah, it's not going to take much here because, quite frankly, just slipping out of that 10th seed and getting that 11th seed, I don't see that even as a possibility. I don't think the Utah Jazz are going to factor in here. So they will be in the play-in, but the question is, can they get through the play-in and actually get into those top eight seeds once you get rolling for the traditional form of the playoffs? But we're already seeing the injury bug rear its ugly head. At the beginning of the season, this was supposed to be LeBron's year for the Los Angeles Lakers to build the bench up and say, you know what? I don't have to play 35 minutes a night. I can get away with playing 29 minutes a night, and you know what? We're going to be a better basketball team for it, because when we do make the playoffs, I'll be rested and ready. And we were laughing at the Lakers, LeBron James playing 40-plus minutes every single night, even in losses at this point. But as you pointed out, coming down the stretch, there's not a lot of room to hide and rest. You know what's a great spot to hide and rest? The All-Star break, where you get 7 to 8 days between games here. You can rest up your ailing body and get into that unofficial second half of the season to do that. But LeBron James, like, nah, you know what? Let's fly on that private jet, get out there. I got a lot of parties, a lot of being on my feet. I got a lot of photo shoots to do. And, of course, I want to be in the All-Star game to make sure I make an appearance. Maybe I'm wearing a new pair of kicks. That's much, much more important than starting this next second half of the season here to try to make a playoff run. I got to look out for my image. Lakers, if we make the playoffs, that's great. But I got to get this picture of my 20th All-Star game. That's much, much more important than the fans, the ownership group, and also the Los Angeles Lakers teammates themselves.
I thought we wanted the guys to care about All-Star Weekend and the All-Star Game. Now we're getting mad at LeBron for playing in the All-Star Game and taking off a regular season game following the All-Star break. I do hear the point, though, because there is an All-Star break even after All-Star Weekend. And LeBron wasn't necessarily out there in the most intense and competitive game for 25, 30 minutes in Indianapolis on Sunday night. What will it take for the Lakers to make the playoffs? As Donnie said, not all that much. Yes, they're in the 9 spot right now. Yes, there is not a ton of margin of error. But as you look at the Western Conference standings, Dallas in 7, Sacramento in 8. Those two teams separated by a half game. The Lakers 2 full games behind the Sacramento Kings for that 8th spot. That would be 1 play-in tournament game if you are victorious, and gives you a second one even if you fall in that 7-8 matchup to make the playoffs. Of course, the Lakers did that a season ago from the play-in tournament all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And we shared this earlier in the week. There are 2 teams behind the Golden State Warriors, the Dubs in the 10th spot in the Western Conference standings. The Jazz and the Rockets. Utah back by 2.5 games. The Rockets back by 3.5 games. Utah to make the play-in tournament. Again, only 2.5 games back of Golden State entering this home stretch. Plus 850. Houston's 3.5 games behind. Plus 1,000. So the odds makers don't expect the teams on the outside looking in to be into the play-in tournament. It is more likely a team like Phoenix at 5 or New Orleans at 6 falls into the play-in tournament than it is for the teams on the outside making a run up the board, as the odds makers expected entering this home stretch of the association.
Yeah, and by the way, the Lakers should be in the playoffs here, and they are talented enough to get that done. Whether or not LeBron James can play, I don't know, 90% of the final remaining games or 80% of the remaining games here. If they are healthy, they're formidable in the playoffs, because the one thing that we do know about the NBA playoffs, it's structured as if you're an older veteran team, you're going to get the added bonus of playing every 3 to 4 days as opposed to maybe on a back-to-back or every other night. So it does help the Lakers once they get there. The question is, they just have to get their NBA healthy. It's one of those things where we expected coming out of the break, okay, the Lakers are focused. Let's see what they have down the stretch. And we're already starting out at a stumble over a block, because there's no guarantee that LeBron James is even going to play the next game out of the All-Star break either. You start piling up those losses, the pressure starts to begin. But the one thing we do know, the NBA wants LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers in the playoffs, and they're hoping it happens as well.
Donnie mentioned this when we were breaking down the Bucks to start off this what would it take conversation. Giannis during the All-Star break speaking with reporters and saying, quote, we can start from effing ownership. Changed. Coach. Changed. Coach. Changed again. Star players. Changed. Like so much effing blank, it's just up and down about a tumultuous season for Milwaukee. But again, I don't think this home stretch for the Bucks is going to be as topsy-turvy as the beginning of this season, but maybe I could be wrong.
No, and I don't think so either. This is a good team here that's used to winning and has a core that's very talented, and we won't be surprised if they wind up in the NBA Finals. There's a lot of turmoil. They can set this record straight right away. Going a 5-game win streak out of the break, we're not going to worry about this ever again, Ben.
We will have some conversation with our sports professor, Rick Horro, up next. What is he going to say? Your guess, Donnie's guess, my guess, as good as they will come. Will he drop some knowledge? Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And not only is Rick Horro our sports professor here across the Spiz Grizz, from the hand motions I saw him make as we were coming back from break, he might be a producer or at least a floor director in his future. Rick, glad to have you here on this Thursday on TEL.
There's no future in being a floor director or a producer. I would rather be an up-and-coming talent like you, like you and Wrongside.
Oh, me and Wrongside. What a way to endear yourself to the host, even though you're more mad at me than even Donnie Wrightside. So, Rick, it's been a week of conversation during the All-Star break around the NBA, with 3 days off fully for the NBA following All-Star weekend in Indianapolis, about the future of the All-Star game. How competitive could it possibly be? How do we incentivize players? Does anybody care? What is the proper solution? And we see that reflected in the TV audience for what really should be a crowning spectacle of the NBA. 2024 NBA All-Star Game on Sunday night averaged just 5.5 million viewers, the second lowest figure on record, trailing only 2023. Across TNT, TBS, and True TV, and Max, the streaming home, the game did see a 20% increase from last season, but still the second lowest rated NBA All-Star game in its history. What do you think the TV ratings mean for the future of All-Star Weekend?
Well, I'm all excited because I had the over, and I think the over and under was like 420. We made it. Look, it's not a game. And what happens when you hit rock bottom when it's not a game? Roger Goodell told us. He said, we ain't doing this anymore if you're going to play touch football in pads. And they redid it. They're still tinkering with it. It's a mixture, all of these, of sports and entertainment. If you don't think so, a beautiful Sunday event or last day event by the NHL when Gary Bettman decided to pull a couple skaters each time. It's 3-on-3, and it's a marvelous, marvelous event with some bugs still to be worked out. The Major League Baseball Home Run Derby takes center stage. That's more exciting, obviously, than the game the Tuesday. And the same thing with the NBA Ionescu Curry and next year Caitlin Clark Curry. So how do you get the game itself to happen? Well, you don't put a bigger pot of money on there because we've already said that these two teams were playing for their respective charities. That didn't make any difference. Maybe you get the two captains together and you say, look, you tell your guys that if they give up more than X points, they automatically lose. Or maybe you say that if you see a guy not playing defense, it's up to you to freeze him out, because there's nothing, as Michael Jordan knows, different, more important to an NBA All-Star than standing on the court saying, give me the ball, and it doesn't happen. So, by the way, I don't know what the answer is, but it's about playing hard or not playing hard. And those guys don't play hard, as we know.
Sooner or later, looks like that might be an option where it goes away, just like the NFL did, and just have an all-star weekend without an all-star game. It'll be interesting to see where that winds up. But, Rick, as we know, in your profession here, when we talk expansion in Major League Baseball, that means more stadiums, buy-in fees, and a lot more lawyer fees down the stretch. Are we getting close here to Major League Baseball expanding here in the near future?
Doesn't matter. The farther away, the more lawyer fees, as you said, is more stadium deals. I do think there is more money available for expansion. And when it says expansion expected, like the graphic said, I'm not sure when. You know, the A's situation's got to be resolved. The Goodman family, 25 years as mayor, Mr. and Mrs. Goodman, and she threw a little bit of a wrench saying, I'm not sure we even want them. They've got to resolve the A's situation. I think they will. And then obviously the Rays. And that has to be done as part of a package. Now, Nashville. Look at Salt Lake. We talked about it last time. Salt Lake is a significant emerging candidate, especially Larry Miller, the guy who used to own the Jazz, doing a major development on the other side of town besides the arena, and it may be the next Vegas. We may wake up 5 years from now and see Salt Lake City having baseball, basketball, and hockey, which is a very interesting thing because it's Mountain Time Zone, and you need more teams there besides Denver. Is it expected? Yeah, but probably not until they resolve Oakland and Tampa Bay.
The vices you can have in Las Vegas, the same vices you can have in Salt Lake City, Utah. No. A couple of notes I just want to make. NBA All-Star Game effort, unlike anything you will see with Rick Horro on a tennis court. If there is a ball down the line, that man in the middle will get to it. And the longer something is drawn out, the more lawyer fees you can stack up. That is Rick Horro's music. Maybe the same conversation then for the college football playoffs. In potential talk of expansion before we even see the expansion from 4 to 12. Actual things in place this season. 12-team expanded field. A new format has been decided on. It was the expected change, now confirmed by the Board of Governors earlier this week. 5 plus 7. 5 automatic berths for the 5 highest-ranked conference champions around the country, 7 at-large bids. But, Rick, I want to ask you about the TV revenue and how that all plays into the conversation about what is next for the college football playoff. The deal with ESPN runs through 2025. A new contract might be underway in 2026. How does the TV revenue pair with what we are going to see in terms of the college football playoff format?
Two things really quickly. First of all, you must be medicated because that was one of the nicest introductions you've given to me at the beginning of that, segment. So thank you very much. Back to the story. I published a rumor has it and details have it that it'll be $1.3 billion for 6 years, each of the 6 years that comes up after this next one. You may say that's a lot of money, but wait a second. The old deal, which was half of that, was for 3 games. This one is for at least 11 games a year. So, and plus, ESPN would be the only one. What did they look at CBS and Fox and Amazon and Google and all of the usual suspects? I don't know. So there's a lot of discussion about whether that deal is the final deal. Simultaneous with the 5 plus 7, you know, it used to be 6 automatics and the Pac-12 folded. So the other thing about that is it's maybe a death knell to the non-Power Fives, the Cincinnatis and otherwise. You may not see them ever in it again at the 12-team level because they may not be one of the 7. They'll be a conference runner-up. So a lot to be worked out, and it is all interrelated. But watch for the college football playoff deal to be signed, not just talked about. We lawyers like to talk a lot because it gives us the opportunity to raise our fees.
There you go. Talking about raising fees here in the gambling industry, Rick, and good for the Sports Grid Network. $119.8 billion was the handle for legalized sports betting here in the United States. Rick, is this just a sky shot to the moon here? Are we going to continue this upward trend here?
Moon, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, the new planets they say they discovered. I don't know where those are, but someone's going to find them and someone will bet on those planets. So look, the bottom line is the consolidation is near. FanDuel, DraftKings, obviously, look at ESPN Bet and Penn Gaming and where they've been. And it's up to a network to make sure it rises above the pack and provides information mixed with normal business so people can evaluate all of these deals because they get competitive out there, they get rough out there. Don't make bets because people give you promotional dollars. Make bets because you have a serious amount of information from the only network that's out there that makes any sense, and that is Sports Grid, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, that was beautiful. What a tied bow that was. Can we pull back up that tweet in the picture at that sports book, wherever it is? I think I see Rick Horro sitting there, front row, 3 chairs from the top, from the right there, probably betting on an NHL game. Rick, you talk about great information. You want to be one of the emerging talents here on this network, like Ron Side and myself, Steffens. So before we get to break, 20 seconds, take it home. Best bet for this Thursday.
Best bet for this Thursday is not watch NBA basketball because nobody plays defense and nobody cares.
I like this.
Watch hockey because they got a lot more intense. And then football's over, so go refine your golf game. Come back after this. They're going to teach you more right after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Adage that goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we haven't even seen the expanded field of 12 for a college football playoff, and the CFP Board of Governors is already talking TV revenue and what might be available if we expand to 14 teams or 16 schools in the college football playoff starting in 2026. Rick Hoyle laid it out for you why the TV revenue is so integral to this conversation, beginning at the end of this contract, which is already starting the negotiations now, in 2026 and beyond. The Big Ten and the SEC, the two main stakeholders, want even bigger pieces of the pie and more potential spots for their member institutions to make the college football playoff. That is the reality. We briefly touched on this subject at the beginning of the show, and my co-host, ever the instigator, Donnie Wrightside, said he loved the idea of 14 teams, maybe 16. Donnie, the floor is yours before I rebuttal.
Yeah, it's got to go. And again, every other, which again, we always equate this, and bowl season should go away immediately here. You take a look at FCS, Division II and Division III, flawlessly execute massive playoffs that are absolutely tremendous and crown a rightful champion here. Everybody complains about money, players included now. More teams in the playoff, more money for everybody. That's always going to be a win up front. But also, I'm speaking to the teams that I usually hate on every single year. I think it's quite fun here that the Penn State and Nittany Lions are basically irrelevant. The minute the season kicks off, because they can't beat anybody good. But hear me out, Penn State backers now, and this is for you. The expanded playoffs are wonderful. Your season actually matters now. We have more meaningful games throughout the season. Like for Penn State, let's just say if they wound up playing Michigan week 3 next year and lose. Your season's over already. Now we can extend your season into November with a legitimate chance of actually making the playoff now. Expanded playoffs means extra importance on the regular season with more fan bases having more fun and caring because why? There's a chance to get into the playoffs. Let me just quickly equate this here. The Kansas City Chiefs lost 6 ball games in the NFL this year. Should they have not been able to go to the playoffs because the regular season is now meaningless? Absolutely not. We want more teams in the tent, more fun. And by the way, the best Major League Baseball season I've ever seen was the COVID 2020 season. Why? Because just about every damn team made the playoffs here, and how much fun it was to have 8 games on a single day in late September, early October for the playoffs. We love stuff like this. Let more teams in, more meaningful games. Everybody, including you, Penn State, can be a winner.
Including you, Penn State. Nice little shot at the very end of that explanation. So, a couple of things that I will first reference and then tell you why I hate this very idea before we even see the right change that was expanding from 4 to 12. You mentioned the FCS postseason. I would agree. There's a lot of people in the idea of college football playoff expansion that have referenced the FCS and how they do have a flawless postseason. Some people have said, what a long season you're going to ask these non-professional athletes to undertake. 12 regular season games, conference championships for the best, and then 3, 4, 5 potential playoff games to get to a national championship. The FCS does that, and they do it very well. It's a 24-team single elimination playoff bracket where 10 conferences send their champion. All 10 conferences that are eligible for the FCS postseason, the SWAC and the MEAC play in the Celebration Bowl. That's something else. The Ivy League never participates in the playoffs at the FCS level. So all 10 conferences that play at the FCS level send in their conference champion as an automatic qualifier, which means there's 14 at-large bids. That's a lot of teams. But I still believe that when you look at the FBS level, now that we have only 9 conferences available with the dissolution of the Pac-12, are we going to send all 9? Are we going to have a CUSA and a MAC champion in this format? No, we're certainly not. It's just more pieces of the pie and more spots available in the playoff for the Big Ten and the SEC, as we see with the national championship odds that we'll get to in just a moment. Donnie mentioned the NFL postseason. 14 is exactly the number that we send to the National Football League playoffs. That's where I think college football is trending in the next decade or 15 years or so. The idea of having two conferences, an FBS conference, maybe a or Power Four conference, and outside of that. But we're going to have a Power Four level of college football separate from the rest of collegiate athletics, where we're going to have divisions in said conference that are going to look geographically maybe more like the conferences we used to have back when things were just geographically tied and not all done for TV money. And that's my final point. The people in power, the CFP Board of Governors, they're not thinking out of the best interest of college football. They're not thinking out of the best interest of players or teams or any of that. They are thinking in the best interest of their bottom line and the TV revenue that this would drive. Rick Horro said it. On average, $1.3 billion per year for the new CFP contract? That's ridiculous amounts of money. And we are not naive. We are rational. We are understanding. Even if we disagree, we can accept that TV revenue, Donnie, has been the main engine behind all of this. But we haven't even got to 12 teams yet, and we're already talking about a new change in 2026. And the reason we bring this up is not just because it was reported as a rumor from ESPN's Pete Thamel. In his reporting, he concluded that leaving that meeting room yesterday, the CFP Board of Governors, those conference commissioners around the country, and other stakeholders in college football felt pretty hopeful and optimistic about this potential expansion on the expansion we haven't even seen just yet.
No, and you're right about it. And money does drive the big picture here in Division One, but you can also look at the other divisions, right? The FCS, Division Two, and Division Three. Is it about money that 32 teams, I believe, get into Division Three playoffs? No, they don't make any money. They lose money on that, but it's a better format, and it gives a true national champion. But you're right. You can't have 17, 18, 19-game seasons for college kids. I understand that, which, again, if I was commissioner, we wouldn't play any silly season. Like, again, hey, Penn State, you wouldn't get to play North Directional Tech four straight games in Happy Valley before you actually began Big Ten play. We would start Big Ten play immediately in the final week of August and go right through it. So we'd be able to cut out, and teams would still make the same amount of money because the pool would be bigger that would be split around here. So instead of getting your four games at home that are free wins, you wouldn't have those anymore. You go right into Big Ten play. But also, as you're trying to equate it like to different scenarios and how much money that you would actually make, it would be incredible because then you would start to get that NFL landscape where you'd have the home games on campus right up until your quote-unquote championship game a la Super Bowl here. The money would be massive all the way around and would be a much better product both in and out in college football. We'll get there sooner than later right now. And also, the one relic, we start to evolve things. Just get rid of bowl season here and expand the playoff field. Everybody wins. Let me just leave you with this right now, because I know huff and puff and I get these arguments and it's so much fun to go on social media to do this. But hear me out on this. Is the NCAA March Madness? Like, answer me this question. Why don't we just choose the top four teams and forget about that entire tournament? Wouldn't it be better? Everybody would say the regular season is much more meaningful here, but we wouldn't get March Madness, but it should be better if there's just four teams. We would never say that because the 68 teams is fantastic at this point, and we love to watch every bit of it because those games mean something here. We would never change March Madness. Why would we not expand in college football to get that type of March Madness type of environment? We love that.
362 Division I men's college basketball teams as compared to 134 at the FBS level. And I think we are all aware of the distinction between the Power Four, maybe the Power Two now with the Big Ten and the SEC based on conference realignment and the rest. Are you saying I'm huffing and puffing? And I am, yeah. I guess, just a little bit. But one of the reasons, Donnie, if I may, growing up, right? When you were growing up in the late 80s and the early 90s,
yes,
taking in college football, were you ever complaining about too many bowl games? Were you ever complaining about bowl season seems like it has no incentives or really matters? Were you ever saying that?
No, but I was saying, like, I was a big Miami Hurricanes fan, and if we lost opening day to Florida State, why watch the rest of the season at this point? Now you're including everybody in there. You can have fun. It's the same thing, again, with the NFL. If my Philadelphia Eagles opened up 0-1 on the season, no reason to watch the next 17 games because we have no chance at making it into the playoffs. Why would we ever do that to ourselves? The goal is to keep your fan bases engaged and have an unbelievable season. And quite frankly, the old format in college football didn't do that. You basically had a 25% season, which is like, okay, well, couple teams lose early, they're already out of it. Now you're bringing so many more teams into the tent later in the season. It makes the theatrics unbelievable to watch, and it's why we love sports here. More games that matter. Isn't that the goal? Nobody likes it in the NFL back in the day when there wasn't a lot of playoff teams where your team was out of it in weeks 13, 14, 15, and 16 didn't even matter. And how many times do we see those week 16 and week 17 games going like, wait a second, there's only like two games that matter out of all of these. Why do that? Last year's NFL final week of the season, we were having it a hard time finding games that didn't matter. Because why? Expanded playoffs are tremendous, Ben.
Very fair. And by the way, I thought I could get away with the solo shot scratching my head before we got to the two shot. That did not happen. And Donnie, I would agree, by the way, because there's a lot of people that think it de-incentivizes the regular season, those games week eight against your conference rival that might mean everything. That is a playoff game in essence, even played in a regular season. But I agree with your point. I think that when you make a playoff matter, more games matter throughout each and every stage of a college football campaign. But I will just say this, and you alluded to it right there. Back in the late 80s, the early 90s, into the early aughts, nobody was saying bowl games don't matter. There's too many bowl games. Enough of this malarkey. It is because of the college football playoff that we now start to feel bowl games don't matter. And I'm a big believer in bowl games do matter, and bowl season is electric because, like college football, it is a very unique sport, and those moments can live individual outside of who reaches the CFP or who is crowned the national champion when there are very limited programs that are truly in the running of winning a national title year in and year out. It's part of the beauty of college football, in my estimation. We're back here on the Early Line, up next here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the Early Line. On the Early Line, in the early portion of the NFL offseason, we play guess the line for what the win total might be for a specific NFL team as we enter 2024's NFL campaign, using conference odds, Super Bowl 59 odds, and what the win total was a season ago. So let's start with those Super Bowl 59 odds just to get the picture of where things stand around the league. The San Francisco 49ers will enter this offseason as the Super Bowl 59 favorites in New Orleans, 5-1 the price on San Francisco, a full dollar and a half in front of the two-time reigning NFL Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, plus 650. The Ravens, third best number at 9-1. Everybody else, four digits or longer. The Bills, 12-1. The Cowboys and the Lions tied for the fifth best price at 13-1. The Bengals, 15-1. The Eagles, 17-1. The Dolphins and the Packers, 21-1, 22-1, respectively, round out the top 10.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I would have the 49ers a little bit lower, somewhere around a 7 or 8 to 1 price at this point. They're not just going to walk over the division and or the NFC. And also, there is something to that Super Bowl hangover when you don't win it. You need to be healthy the next year. It typically doesn't happen, and regression certainly will come into the fold. But I can't disagree with a lot of these numbers here from the FanDuel Sportsbook as where we line up towards next year. I like the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll retool the Baltimore Ravens at a 9-1 price. You might not think they can win the Super Bowl, but they'll be a damn good regular season team. So no real issues here overall, other than I think the 49ers should be coming back to the field much, much more than a 5-1 price.
Yeah, I think that price is laughable on San Francisco. Ultimately, are you going to cash that Super Bowl 59 ticket with the 49ers based on what we have seen? No. Based on coaching? Certainly not. I don't think anybody should be in front of the Chiefs in the offseason or the preseason before a new year begins. Is San Francisco more than likely going to play in the NFC title as they have four of the past five NFL seasons? Sure. I could give you that to be the Super Bowl favorites by a buck and a half in front of Kansas City. Hey, whatever. It is what it is. We go guess the line with two teams out of the NFC, two from the AFC here on this Thursday on TEL. And we start with Donnie Wright's side's Philadelphia Eagles, who, entered last year with a win total of 11.5. Their preseason Super Bowl 58 odds, 8-1. Now 17-1, $9 added on to the number this year. What do you believe the 2024 win total will be for the Birds?
Yeah, if you're correlating it there, it probably means they're coming in around a 9.5, and rightfully so. There's a lot of question marks with the Philadelphia Eagles that we didn't think we had last year coming off of the Super Bowl loss. You thought Jalen Hurts would just take up right where he was as an unbelievable quarterback and maybe the best quarterback in the Super Bowl, and they didn't even win that football game. But there was a ton of talent coming back, which you did lose both of the coordinators coming back on that season, and it didn't work out in the Eagles' favor. And also, when I say didn't work out, they're actually 10-1 at one point here and won 11 football games, but the vibe's certainly not high. But I think they corrected a lot of those issues. You're going to get a competent offense next year and a competent defense, not because of the player personnel here, Ben, but just because of the coaches that you brought in, an upper echelon offensive coordinator, yep, and one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of football in Vic Fangio coming to town. At least you should have your X's and O's worked out. For myself, you should be getting a downgrade on the Philadelphia Eagles. They're not the same team they were just 2 years ago, and you will get a downgrade because of that. But I don't see any reason why they can't win 10 football games. Offset that number at 9.5, I think it makes a lot of sense.
I think the over would have some juice, and let me just say this right now. 9.5, 10.5. Over on the Philadelphia Eagles team win total for 2024. They started off 10-1 this year before they stumbled mightily down the stretch, losing 5 of their final 6 games in the regular season, and of course, losing in the opening round of the playoffs to Tampa in Tampa, despite being booked as a road favorite. And they still finished only a half game under their preseason win total of 11.5. I would agree with Donnie. I think 9.5 is the win total, and the over has the juice, and I will take the over. I have already said I believe the best value in the Super Bowl 59 odds is on Philadelphia, maybe Cincinnati, and I'm going to bet the Eagles to win the NFC before the year gets underway. The biggest detriment to the Birds a season ago was the drop-off in coordinator positions. Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman have fixed that error this offseason. Kellen Moore, I still believe one of the bright, young, talented offensive minds in the NFL. And defensively, I don't think it gets better as a DC than Vic Fangio. Maybe it's not all that's cracked up to be. Maybe there's some roster issues. Maybe Sirianni is not cut out to be the head coach. I believe that he is, and I believe Philadelphia will be back in the NFC Championship game. So give me the over of a 9.5 win total. Dallas Cowboys, 13-1 to win the Super Bowl entering 2023. 13-1 to win the Super Bowl entering 2024. Last year, the win total was 9.5 for Dallas. They have won 12 regular season games in the last 3 NFL seasons. This year, I believe that win total is double digits, at least 10.5.
Yeah, I'm going to put it at 10.5 as well, because I do think there will be a step up here, at least in the odds market, for the division championship between the Philadelphia Eagles and also the Dallas Cowboys. There's 2 bad teams in the Eagles division and also the Cowboys division, which will help them. You'll be able to beat up on the Giants and the Washington Commanders for at least one more year until they get their quarterback situation overall figured out. But you brought up a good point here. We're not asking you right now as a team total that, you know, coordinates with a Super Bowl championship. We know Dallas Cowboys don't have the DNA right now to win a Super Bowl, quite frankly, even advance in the playoffs, as it feels like. But they do have a very talented roster. And the one thing you have to like, too, if we just take a look at the team total, I like the stance that Jerry Jones is taking right now. Complete anger after losing in the playoffs, where it's like, we didn't see this coming. I didn't even prepare for like a speech after the game as if my team was going to lose. I can't believe it happened going up against the Green Bay Packers. But having said that, he also was like, I know Dak wants an extension. That's not happening here. You're going to show me. I know my coach, who's basically a lame duck, don't care. He's going to have to show me that he belongs, which does add extra fuel to the fire, and everybody crossing their T's and dotting their I's, which includes ownership by getting extra players and maybe pushing in on that salary cap to add more players without those extensions to say, I'm giving you guys a 1-year window to win this, or else we are breaking up the band at this point here. I think that plays well for a regular season. I agree with you. 10.5, and the front runner currently in the NFC is probably going, the NFC East, I should say, is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I think the Cowboys will be booked as the favorites to win the NFC East. Of course, know the quacky trend that we have since 2004, now nearly 2 decades, we have not seen a repeat divisional champ, even though we thought the Eagles were going to run away with the NFC East at multiple times throughout the second half of this NFL season. Over Philadelphia, under Dallas, I don't believe it works out this year. I don't think there has been a coach on a hot seat warmer than Mike McCarthy. Sure, he was brought back. He was given no contract extension. This is the final year of his deal. I don't think he returns in 2025, even if Dallas does have another good regular season. I would never bet a Cowboys price for anything of worth in the postseason with Donnie's money, with my money, with my worst enemy's money at this moment. Could there be regular season success? Sure. I think the loss of Dan Quinn is going to rear its ugly head for Dallas this year. Now over to the AFC. The Cincinnati Bengals, a team win total of 11.5 for 2023. Of course, they fell well short of that with only 9 wins, but that was because of the injury to Joe Burrow. 10-1 to win Super Bowl 58, 15-1 to win Super Bowl 59. What is the win total for the Bengals in 2024?
I'm going to drop it slightly here to 10.5. I don't think T. Higgins is going to be back, but if I get Joe Burrow back healthy here, you can beat just about anybody in the NFL. We've seen that with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. I do think that Ja'Marr Chase will be back and happy with a monster contract. If not, this season could completely go off the rails, which, again, I'm not expecting that. Like Zach Taylor's the head coach, like the defensive coordinator, they still have some nice pieces here. You'll get a draft pick and also maybe go out in the free agency to attack. But the question coming in, you're not getting the benefit of the doubt in that division. Baltimore is going to be unbelievably good once again in the regular season if they stay healthy. You take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals themselves, yes, they should be good next year. The Cleveland Browns, who to me, technically overachieving last year with losing their quarterback, Deshaun Watson will be back, whether or not that's actually a good thing. You expect higher expectations with your starting quarterback under center. Nick Chubb, who got injured, is he coming back? The defense is ultra talented as well. So case in point in that division, the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they get a quarterback, you know Mike Tomlin, they'll be 500 or better. You can bookmark that at this point, which means that doesn't resonate all that well, because if you are taking haymakers on a week-to-week basis from your own division, that's going to limit how high you can climb, the 13 wins, the 14 wins, the 15 wins, if you're that good a football team. So I'll downgrade them slightly, not necessarily because I don't like the football team, but just the environment they're playing in. The AFC North, that's a tough division, Ben.
And that is why the win total is going to be 10.5 with the under having the juice, or I might even throw it at a flat 10 with maybe slight juice to the over because of the AFC North and because the Baltimore Ravens are going to have the highest win total. But because of the AFC North, I don't even think the flock are at 11 or 11.5. I think it's probably 10.5 for Baltimore. Joe Burrow has started and completed 2 full healthy years for the Bengals that have ended in a run at least to the AFC Championship. Of course, 2021, it was a Super Bowl 57 or 56 appearance for Cincinnati. They have won double-digit games each of those 2 full years. They even finished with 9 last year with Jake Browning, the quarterback, for the final stretch of the regular season. If it is at 10, I would bet the over for Cincinnati, maybe even the over of 10.5, potentially with some plus money. I have said it, the Bengals and the Eagles, the 2 teams I look at for value in the conference championship markets in their respective ends of the league, and of course, maybe to match up in a Super Bowl in New Orleans. The Buffalo Bills, 2023 Super Bowl 58 odds, 9-1. Their win total, 10.5. This year, the market has moved back at 12-1, maybe because of Buffalo falling short once again in the playoffs. What do you think the win total is for 2024?
I think it'll be right at 10.5 again. I'm going over here. It's one of the teams that I'm most excited for heading into 2024, just because you take a look at, you have the quarterback here. He's dynamic, and if he stays healthy, you'll be good automatically here for Buffalo. But also take a look at the wide receiver position. I'm expecting a bounce back from Stephon Diggs this year. No longer being angry last year and can't stand Josh Allen. It's amazing a different tune you play when your season didn't go as well as you wanted it to go, and now you're expecting maybe a refocused Diggs in the offseason. You'll get a quality number 2 wide receiver, but the more important thing is here that Sean McDermott defense I expect to be healthy next season, and that means they're going to be a better football team overall. This is one of those teams I'm looking forward to placing wagers on early in the season for a Super Bowl run. I think that number comes up at 10.5, and I can't wait to bet that to the over, Ben.
Me as well. Listen, you can question what the Bills are going to do once they reach the AFC postseason, especially if it means a matchup against Mahomes and the Chiefs. But in the last 4 years, Buffalo has won at least 11 games in a regular season. I don't think the AFC East is going to be all that challenging this year. I think the Dolphins slightly regress. I don't think the Jets are going to do anything, even if Aaron Rodgers is healthy for all 17 NFL regular season games. I think Buffalo is going to win the division. for a fifth consecutive season. I believe I did my math correctly there. Mm. I would take the over on the Buffalo Bills win total for that regular season, and it's probably going to be 10.5, and the over might have the shade of the big. I would still take Buffalo to the over. That 12-1 Super Bowl price and AFC Championship number, different conversation. These are regular season numbers tied strictly to that win-loss record. I would take the over for Buffalo at 10.5.
Yeah, and it makes some sense to do that. This is one of those teams where I thought I had bigger aspirations there because I thought they could knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. This year, just get back to that football game, and you could say the Buffalo Bills have a healthy defense. They will be moving on. That's the bet I'm making. The Buffalo Bills bouncing back in 2024, Ben.
I love that we already have, like, our AFC Championship winners. We have our Super Bowl 59 matchups, and it's February 22nd. We round out this second hour where they talk about the NBA and the face of the league next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out this second hour of a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and this, of course, is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan that QR code on your screen. The NBA All-Star break is now through. NBA action picks up tonight as the season resumes with 12 regular season matchups, 24 of the 30 NBA teams in action. This stretch run is now underway. LeBron James is in year 21. The All-Star break gives us time to have big picture conversations. After LeBron says goodbye to the NBA, who will be the new face of the league? It's what we asked you in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid TV on Twitter, we gave you four options. After LeBron retires, who will be the face of the association? Giannis, Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, other, and if you said other, you better reply. Most of the public in what is a tightly contested poll going with Giannis, 36%. Other has nearly 27%. Jokic actually in front of Tatum. Donnie, you fit in the public.
Yeah, I am going to fade the public here. 36% does make some sense for Giannis here, but I did vote for other, so I'm a part of that 26.7%. I didn't want to reply because my reply is, well, the face of the NBA clearly is going to be Mac McClung here, two-time NBA dunk champion, about to be three-time NBA dunk champion at this point. But we've had some, it went from Jordan, basically that Kobe Shaq, handed it over to the mantle here, of course, to LeBron James. That's going to be some big shoes to fill. Now, granted, I don't know if Jason Tatum, who's a great basketball player, is enough to be the face of the league. Somebody's going to have to step up, though, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know if the personality is there necessarily for Jason Tatum. We had the concierge of crime, disavow crime, by the way, say easy answer, it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. Day Games Dave said Curry. Steph's also up there in terms of age as well. His future in the NBA, a little bit in question. I said other. Give me the Ant-Man. Anthony Edwards. We'll talk about it when Hour 3 starts in 55 seconds.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.